1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We were here a few weeks ago, and I spoke on pray without ceasing. And again, I just want to read a few verses for you, and then we're going to key in on that verse 18 tonight for our Bible study. And that'll be our text verse, and that's the subject I'll be speaking on tonight. So look, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, beginning in verse 16. Here's what the Bible says, rejoice evermore. Verse 17, pray without ceasing. Verse 18, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Verse 19, quench not the spirit. And verse 20, despise not prophesyings. I had a different lesson I was going to teach tonight. Maybe the Lord will let me teach it in next week or the week after. But I got an email with a story in it that has just been speaking to my heart all week. I think I picked it up on Monday. And so last night, I just, you know, sometimes I just have to tell God, I give up. I want to teach this other lesson, but I think you're directing me to teach this one. And so I'll quit fighting with you, and I'll just be obedient and teach the one that you want taught. And so I want to speak tonight on that in verse 18, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. You know, we read that verse, and our thoughts immediately go to the place where we think the Bible's saying that in everything, whether it's good or bad, whether we want it or not, we're to give thanks to God. And that's certainly an application of this verse. In everything, regardless of what comes into our life, regardless of what circumstances we're in, when we're Christian and we realize that nothing comes into our life except according to the plan of God, He allows it to come, then we ought to give thanks. Because as those things come, the good things and the bad things, the things we would choose and the things that we wouldn't choose, we know that they're sent for a purpose, that He's let them come into our life or sent them into our life to accomplish something that would not be accomplished unless those circumstances were there. And so we do need to be thankful to God. But I want to take a different approach to this verse tonight and get you to think about this. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Not only give thanks to God, but to give thanks to those people that God has put in our life and uses in our life to help us grow, to teach us, just to be used of Him to make us into what He wants us to be. Oftentimes, that's the way God works. When we need something in our life, or when we need a lesson, that we need to learn a lesson in our life, or we need a word of encouragement, it comes through other people. Now, they may not know they're being used of God. They may not know that they're on a mission from God as they teach us that lesson, or as they encourage us, or as they rebuke us, whatever they do. But he does use other people to give us things that we need, and to help us become what we need to become. And as we read this verse, it says, and everything give thanks, not only to God who sends them, but to the people God uses to bring those things. And again, I would submit to you, as we give thanks to other people, we're really giving thanks to God. Because, and I'll take you back to those verses in Matthew, and again, I don't believe I'm taking them out of context. When Jesus was talking about, hey, I was hungry and you fed me, I was naked and you clothed me, I was in prison and you came and visited me, and the people said, hey, you've never been hungry, you've never been thirsty, that we've satisfied your need. And Jesus said, no, you don't understand. In that you've done it unto the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. I think you can make the same application for this verse. As we thank other people for what they do in our life, again, sent by God, we are, in effect, thanking God. Thanking God. So I got to thinking about this, and again, I'll share part of the email with you when I get to one of my points, but there's seven things I want to say about this. And again, I've just been thinking about this since last night, and so I can't wait to hear what I'm going to say when I get to these points. But seven things about giving thanks to others that God sends into our life. Number one, it is an act of obedience to God. When we do that, we are obeying a command, a principle, an instruction that he has given us. And so, as such, we should give our thanks to other people, recognizing that we are being obedient to him. Now, there have been people in my life who, as I look back, have helped me, and at the time, I did not realize they were helping me. In fact, at the time, I was a little perturbed at them because, you know, they were doing things I didn't agree with. They were telling me a message that I didn't want to hear. And you can probably think of times in your life where people have come into your life and they've done things that maybe you haven't agreed with, or they told you things that you did not want to hear. And at the time, I didn't say thank you. At the time, I'll be honest with you, I wasn't grateful. I mean, I would have been a real hypocrite to say thank you at the time. But as I look back on those situations, I realize I owe those people a word of thanks, because God would never have accomplished in my life the things that he accomplished unless those people had come into him. I can remember, and I've talked about him in some of my sermons, I can remember a kid that lived across the street from me. His mother and my mother were best friends. I could not stand this kid. I mean, he just irritated me. And yet, I had to interact with him. I mean, you know, if he wanted to walk to school with me and I said, "No way, Jose," well, I heard from my mother. I mean, he talked to his mom, talked to my mom, and my mom talked to me. And she said, "You know, you need to be more friendly." And I thought I was pretty friendly. But I realized in dealing with Johnny and all the stuff that he was the guy, I told you that story on one Valentine's Day about a girl named Sue and the Valentines that, you know, the escalation in the price of Valentine's. Remember that story? He was the guy. I mean, he was the guy. If you haven't heard that story, see me after church, Jeff. I'll tell it to you. But I learned some valuable lessons about how to get along and be patient with people that I didn't realize that I was learning as I was growing up. But as I look back, I can trace a lot of the things to him. And my point is, here's my point. In situations where we don't feel like giving thanks, we need to do it because God told us to do it. We need to do it as an act of obedience. I think about that verse. I think it's in Colossians. "Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might, as unto the Lord and not unto man." Not unto man. And so, if we're going to give thanks, and we should give thanks to other people, let's do it, realizing that as we're doing it as an act of obedience to God. All right, number two, obedience in this small thing will lead to a pattern or habit of obedience in all things. And I was thinking about this. You know, when your children are little, you teach them to be thankful. You teach them to say thank you. And you teach them to be appreciative of other people as they do things for them. You know, family, people outside of family. And it's a simple thing. I mean, sometimes it's hard to get the children to do it, but it's a small thing just to learn to say thank you. Just to learn to be appreciative of other people. But again, anything that we do that's small, that's good, can lead to good in other areas. So let's say, DJ, come up here and help me for a minute, all right? I'm not going to hit you or pull you around. I'm just going to use you as an example. So let's say DJ is my son. He's standing in for Adam tonight. So if I can start when he's young by getting him to say thank you, just to be grateful for different things that people do in his life. Again, a small thing. It may take a while. I'm sorry, I said I wouldn't hit you. It may take a while for me to pound it into his head, but if I can get him to be obedient in that small thing, when he gets to be, 14, 15, 16, and starts going out at night, and dad tells him, hey, I want you to be home at, not 12. Boy, Dennis, you are really loose. No, Dennis is shaking his head. When I say, I want you to be home at 7:30, okay, if he's got this pattern of obedience, if he's learned to be obedient in the small things, I have a better shot as a dad of getting him to obey me in the big things about what time to be home, about what kind of people that he runs around with, about what he watches on TV when I'm not there and the kind of songs he listens to, and just go on down the list. And my point is, if we can teach our kids, okay, you can go ahead and sit down. If we can teach our kids to be thankful, again, I would put that in a small thing category, although I know sometimes it's hard to get them to do that. But if we can start when they're young and teach them to do that, it will build a pattern of obedience that I think will carry over into big things. I've told you this story before. When we lived in Indiana, I was the song leader at the church. Believe it or not, I was the song leader. And I got to spend a lot of time with the pastor. We did a lot of visitation together, and as a result, we ate together a lot, and a lot of times it was at his house. He had twin boys, Mark and Greg. They were about 5 years old. And every time, I mean, this is just stamped into my brain, I'll never forget it. Every time that we got through eating a meal over there, invariably, one of them, one or the other, would say, Mama, that was the best meal I ever ate. Thank you. Thank you. I mean, we could have been eating steak. We didn't eat much steak, but we could have been eating steak or hot dogs. All right? Every time, they said, Mama, that was the best meal I ever ate. Thank you. Thank you. Now, those guys are 37 years old. All right, 37 years old. One of them's a preacher in Denver. One of them's a missionary in Hungary. They learned, and again, I was there when their dad was teaching them. They learned in that simple act of obedience to say thank you. And it wasn't just to their mom. I mean, that's the thing that sticks in my mind. They said it to everybody. In that simple act of obedience, a pattern of obedience, so that when God called them to do something big, like become a pastor and like become a missionary, it was natural for them to just say yes to God because they learned in those small things what it was to be obedient. And so he commands us, give thanks in all things. Give thanks to me as God, but give thanks to the other people that come into your life that he uses to bless you, that he uses to teach you, that he uses to meet your needs. And if we can learn that simple act of obedience and saying thank you, we'll form a pattern of obedience that when the big things come, we can be obedient in them as well. Number three, it'll serve as a pattern for others. Giving thanks is contagious, and it rubs off on others. And so let me just use the example that I've started with. The pastor back there in Indiana always said thank you. Always said thank you. His little five-year-old boys were watching him. They were emulating their father as they gave their thanks. Because he taught them not by just telling them, this is what I want you to do. He taught them by example. By example. So, and again, this thing is contagious. And I would challenge you to try this. I would just challenge you to try this. And maybe you do it already, and that's wonderful if you do. But I would challenge you to try this with your spouse, with your kids, with a friend. Just begin to be grateful and to express that gratitude, to say the simple words, thank you, I really appreciated this, and see what happens. Just see what happens. In fact, I'm going to sort of combine a couple of my points. It'll come back to you. It will come back to you. You know, there's a verse, and I didn't have time to look it up. I left work at 6:05 and came here, and I was thinking throughout this marathon meeting that we had today of other scriptures, but and I didn't have a chance to look it up. There's a scripture in the Bible that says, cast your bread upon the water, and it'll come back to you. Leonard, do you remember where that is? I can't remember if it's Ecclesiastes or Proverbs. It's one of those, but you cast your bread upon the water, and it'll come back to you. You know, you throw something in the sea and the waves will bring it back to you. And what the Bible is saying is and it works in a lot of different things. You show kindness, kindness will come back to you. You show love, love will come back to you. You show gratitude, you show thanks, and it will come back to you. So, again, here's my challenge. If you got children at home and they do their chores, they take out the garbage, they clean off the table, they wash the dishes. I know it's their job, and maybe you give them an allowance for it. But if you haven't, start this. Hey, thank you for taking out the garbage. Thank you for cleaning off the table. Thank you for, you know, cleaning up your room. Now, try it with your spouse. If you don't make this a habit, every time she cooks your meal, Brother Duane, thank you. Thank you. Brother Harold, I should preach to you instead of Brother Duane. He's probably doing it already. You need to do it. Every time Betty makes your meal, all right? Thank you. Thank you. No, no. But be grateful. And see, my challenge is, as we do it, it will be contagious, and it will come back to us. People that have not acknowledged what we've done or not acknowledged. Now, again, we're not doing it to get it back. We're doing it as an act of obedience. We're doing it to teach those around us that will see it. But it's contagious. And I dare say that if you start saying thank you to your children, if you start saying thank you to your spouse, if you start saying thank you to the friends in your life, pretty soon they'll start saying thank you to you. And they'll start being appreciative of the things that you do for them. Again, that's not our motivation. I mean, we're doing it because God tells us to do it. We're doing it to serve it as an example to others. But it's contagious, and it will come back. It will come back to us. All right. So if you're taking notes, that was point 3 and 4. Now, here's point number 5. Our being grateful oftentimes will be an encouragement to other people. An encouragement to other people. Here's what started this whole thing. Got an email told of a story about this author that wrote a book on, I think, the simple act of gratitude. Did somebody here send me this email? Anybody know what I'm talking about? I didn't recognize who it came from. I usually don't open them up, but this one caught my eye. And if you send me emails, I'll just stop for a minute. If you're sending me emails and I never mention them or never respond to them, it's because I don't know your email address. And if I don't recognize the address, I just automatically delete it. So you need to tell me if you're sending me stuff and I never mention it, because I just don't recognize it and I don't open them up. But I opened this one up. And this the author of this book was holding a seminar to talk about the book. And as part of the seminar, she asked everybody to close their eyes for a minute and to think about somebody in their life that really touched them. Somebody in their life that really had an impact. Somebody that really made a difference in their life. And she left the room for a few minutes and came back. And she went around the room and asked people, you know, who they thought of. And one gentleman, who I think she said was about 50 years old, raised his hand and says, you know, I thought about my seventh grade literature teacher. She was the best teacher that I ever had. She taught me the love of books, and she taught me, you know, all the where you could go by reading books and how much fun it was. And she was one of my favorite teachers. And then the lady said, Well, did you ever thank her for being that kind of teacher? And the guy said, no, I never did. She said, well, I challenge you. Find out if she's still alive, where she is, and write her a note of appreciation. Story goes, a couple, three or four weeks later, the lady that wrote this book got a call from this man. And he said, I found that my teacher was still alive. I took your suggestion. I wrote her a letter thanking her for being the kind of teacher that she was and what she did for me. He said, a few days later, I got a letter back, and it said this: Dear John, you will never know how much your letter meant to me. I am 83 years old, and I am living all alone in one room. All my friends are gone. All my family is gone. I taught 50 years, and yours is the first thank you letter I have ever gotten from a student. Sometimes I wonder what I did with my life. I will read and reread your letter until the day that I die. They got me. Because I wonder how many people in our life that, you know, we can look to, and we know in our heart and in our mind that they touched us. They made a significant impact on our life. And they don't know. And they don't know. And I wonder how much a simple thank you, either in words or a note, would mean to somebody like that. And I don't know, maybe there's somebody in our life who, like this teacher, was wondering if their life made any difference at all. And it did to us, but they don't know about it. And what an act of encouragement it would be to simply say thank you to them and let them know that what they did made a difference. It really did make a difference. And so I'm going to encourage us to do the same thing in the next few days. I want you to think about somebody in your life that really made a difference, that really touched you, that really did something that, as you look back on it, say, boy, I'm so glad that God sent that person into my life. And if they're still alive, find out where they are. And if you have never said thank you, write them a note. Call them on the telephone. And just let them know how appreciative you are of what they meant to you. Now, if you know they're already dead, well, then just say a little prayer. And thank the Lord for putting that person in your life. And who knows the impact that your simple thank you and my simple thank you will have in that person's life as a word of encouragement. Okay, a couple more points and I'll be done. Number six, as we give thanks to other people and as we do so as an act of obedience to God, it will help us realize that every good and every perfect gift does come from the Father above, as it says in James chapter 1, verse 17, I think. Everything that comes in our life is a gift from Him. Every person that comes into our life is a gift from Him. Again, at the time, we may not recognize it. At the time, we may not want to acknowledge it. But as we're thankful to other people, what we really need to remember is that other person came because God sent them. God sent them. I don't believe that anything happens in our life just because of coincidence, just because of chance. God's not that kind of God. He's not going to leave those kind of things to coincidence. He's not going to leave them to chance. He's going to orchestrate them. And as we think about those people that have made a difference in our life, we need to realize that they were sent from him, a gift from him. And then number seven, I think if we give thanks to other people, again, as an act of obedience to him, that as a result of that, more blessings will come. More blessings will come. Okay, Kalina, you and DJ come up here. I want to use both of you as an example. All right? So I'm going to adopt these two. Okay? These two are going to be my kids. All right? And let's say that, you know, I'm like their dad. I'm a very giving person. And so I give them. What are you laughing at? Oh, that's right. I know your dad loves you. He probably doesn't give it to you because you don't need it. But let's say that these are my kids, and I give them stuff. I mean, I buy them their very favorite candy bar. I take them places. I express my love to them in a lot of different ways. And let's say Kalina is very appreciative. And everything that I give her, everything that I do, she goes out of her way to say, Dad, I just thank you. I just appreciate that you've done this for me. I know you don't have to, but I appreciate that you've done this for me. And DJ, on the other hand, all he does is grunt. When I give him something, he just goes, Never, ever says a word of thank you. Never, ever offers a word of appreciation. Never, ever just realizes. I mean, he takes the attitude, well, you're my dad, you owe it to me. Huh? It's not, I don't, why should I say thank you? That's your job to, you know, feed me and take me places and give me my favorite candy bar. Why should I say thank you? I deserve it. I'm such a good kid. Now, let's say I come down to my last dollar and I'm going to give it to one of these two. Who do you think I'm going to give it to? Huh? I'm going to give it to Kate. Yeah, that's right. I'm going to give it to her. This guy is not grateful. I mean, if I'm down to where I got to make a choice, I'm going to give it to her because she appreciates it. I don't know if he does or not because he never, ever tells me. Okay, thanks. And I was thinking about this. I thought about that story of the 10 lepers. Remember? They came to Jesus, and Jesus said, well, go show yourself to the priest. And they were all healed, and only one came back and gave thanks to Jesus for his healing. Now, I was going to go back and read the story, but I dare say that if Jesus had something else to give those 10 guys, the one would have got it. I don't know about the other 9 if they would have got it or not. Huh? And I wonder how many blessings we miss from God, and maybe how many blessings we miss from other people because we don't say thank you. We're just not appreciative of what God gives us, and we're not appreciative of what other people that he sends into our life does for us and gives us. And again, I don't want you to misunderstand me. That's not the motivation for saying thank you, is, well, I'm going to say thank you, so I'll get more. And please don't mistake what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, if we do what God tells us to do and we're obedient and we are thankful, then I think when he's passing out the blessings, he's going to give them to the folks that are appreciative and the folks that just grunt and say, well, he's my God, he's supposed to do it anyway. I'll just remind you tonight, God don't owe us anything. He don't owe us anything. Anything that good that comes into our life, it's just like that verse says, it's a gift from him. It's a gift from him. He don't owe us anything. Say, well, he's my God. He's supposed to take care of me. Well, there's degrees in taking care of you. And again, we need to do it because God told us to. We need to do it as an act of obedience. But it'll be contagious. And it'll come back to us. And the blessings, I think, will continue to flow. Because I think one of the ways we cut them off is when we don't realize where they come from and we aren't grateful for them. That's what I have for you tonight. Again, I would challenge you. I'm going to do it. I've been thinking about it for the last couple days. Think of somebody that's made a difference in your life, that's touched you. And if you've never said thank you, seek them out. Say it. If you don't want to say it in person, say it with a note. Say it with a phone call. And let's just see what happens. See what happens. Let's stand together and we'll have a word of prayer. Be dismissed.